Welcome to Birdside at Home. Thanks for joining with us again today as we worship Almighty God. As you can see, we're getting ready for Christmas with some of the decorations up, and we're getting ready, hopefully, God willing, next week for a congregation to join us in the building on Sunday. We have to wait and see what the government regulations are by that stage. Today you may notice a few changes in our recorded service. We're simply experimenting with a few cameras and some equipment to enable us to live stream the service. And our hope is that today the sound will be a lot clearer than it has been in previous weeks. So do join with us as we move into the building for our service today and as we worship God on the second Sunday of Advent.
Welcome to Burnside at Home. Thanks for joining with us today. It's the second Sunday in Advent, and we're following the theme of Bible Sunday today as we gather together to worship. Traditionally, the Presbyterian Church holds Bible Sunday on the second Sunday of Advent, and we're following some of the themes suggested by the Bible Society in Northern Ireland. So today we're going to be thinking about the Word of God, the living Word, Jesus Christ, and the written Word, the Bible. With the material that we're going to be following, we're going to be seeing a video from the Bible Society about some of the work that they're involved in. We're going to read some stories and see some photographs of people who have been impacted by the Bible. And we're going to look together at Nehemiah chapter 8 as Ezra reads from God's word. And we're going to see the impact that that makes on people's lives as they hear God's word and as they respond to it. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to listen to God's word. We're going to ask him to speak to us. And then later on in the service, the Reverend Terry McMullen is going to share with us the situation of global mission workers and their families during the Advent season. Also, I want to say thank you to Eileen, who has recorded some pieces to lead us in our worship today. We're also trying a slightly different format than we have done in the past in our recorded service, and hopefully whenever we come back into the building again in a couple of weeks' time, we will be planning to try and live stream our services on YouTube so that you can watch live what is taking place. So God's word can invoke intense emotions in our lives. And as we read Nehemiah chapter 8 today, we discover that the people were reduced to tears as they listened to what God had to say to them. But Nehemiah brings them hope in the midst of their despair. And that is my hope and my prayer today, that even though we may be in the pits of despair because of the year that we have had, we still have hope. Nehemiah says, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Bible reminds us of the great love Jesus has for us. And after we pray together, Eileen is going to play "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So," reminding us that in the Bible we are told about God's great love for us and how much he cares for us. So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing to be upon us now as we gather in your name. Wherever we happen to be today, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be with us and that you would watch over us and care for us. We thank you, Lord, for this second Sunday of Advent as we look at your word together, and we pray that we might find hope and we might find help as we turn to your word. Lord, help us to understand your written word. But today, Lord, we pray that we would also meet with your living word, Jesus Christ. And as we meditate upon your word, help us today, Lord. Speak to us, comfort us, and bring us hope. For we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we're going to sing together, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Today we're thinking about the Bible Society, and we now have a short video which simply gives some information about the Bible Society and tells you what they have been doing in spreading God's word throughout the world.
There are people all over the world living without a Bible of their own and desperate to read God's Word. Thanks to the support of people like you, millions of Bibles are printed and distributed each year in China alone. In sub-Saharan Africa, thanks to your support, Bible-based literacy classes enable people with little education to read God's Word by themselves, using Bibles that people like you have helped provide. New Bible translations make God's Word available to whole communities. More than 200,000 scripture portions are distributed each year to our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, and Bible-based trauma healing is provided to those in need. More locally, in England and Wales, we're building Bible confidence and longing for a better conversation about the Bible in wider society. None of this, in China, Africa, the Middle East, and here in England and Wales, would be possible if it weren't for your generosity and kind support. Every penny donated helps share the Word of God. And the youth edition of the Good News Bible, the Bible course, and the ever-growing Open the Book project that engages with children in school are just some of the ways you can explore and share God's big story for yourself. Challenges lie ahead as the world responds to the coronavirus pandemic, but in everything, the mission remains to God's Word. The better story of hope the Bible presents is more important than ever.
So that's the Bible Society. They're involved in God's work and spreading the Bible through many different countries. And I want to share with you just some stories now and some pictures of people who have been impacted through God's Word. First of all, from China, this is Mu Wexu. He is a 33-year-old preacher who lives in the mountainous areas in China. He was facing many challenges even before the coronavirus outbreak. How easy do you think it would be to Jesus, "I am willing to serve you if you're a poor preacher living in a rural area. You'd have to give up all your farming income to go out and to preach the gospel." Mu also has a wife and newborn baby son to support. And when COVID-19 started spreading, the mountains preachers like Mu had to climb to continue their God-given mission suddenly got much bigger. The suspension of all church meetings during the lockdown meant the income of preachers like Mu evaporated. These situations can lead to rural preachers abandoning much-needed ministries in order to survive. And in China, there is already a huge shortage of trained pastors, with just one trained leader for every 6,700 Christians. Mu admits he was tempted to quit to seek a better paid job in the city, especially after the birth of his baby. But he kept going, lifted up by the generosity both in donations and in prayers of Christians thousands of miles away. Mu wanted to share his gratitude. He said, "I am thankful for your support, for now I can visit more brothers and sisters and travel far to preach God's word." Then if we move to the Middle East, it was Easter in the city of Aleppo in war-torn Syria. Bible Society staff member Miss Noor gave preschooler Bekara a Bible storybook and said to him, "This is a story from the Bible about Jesus Christ who loves you. See how Jesus is sitting among loving them with all his heart." The little boy took the book and ran to his mum. "Look, what a beautiful book they gave me. Will you read me a story about Jesus?" Bakara's mother asked him if he had thanked Miss Noor for the book. He turned and shouted at the top of his voice, "Thank you, Bible Society." Also at the same time in Aleppo, a very excited Nadim demonstrates his own kindness. He said, "I've already got a Bible. Now I can give this one to my friend who hasn't got one." In Syria, Bible mission focuses on the younger generations. Many of these children and young people have been exposed to the horrors of war. Many more have been displaced. More and more of them are finding hope in the scriptures, hope to mend their broken lives. Then if we move to Africa, there are about 1,000 children in the church in rural. For Sunday school, they split into classes with about 100 kids in each class. This is church on a big scale until it comes to their resources. There may be 1,000 children in the church, but there are just 40 children's Bibles. In one class, 5 children each week are allowed to take a Bible home. They must read a story every night and learn one by heart. One child loved the Bible so much, he read 10 stories a night. Bibles are brought back to church the following Sunday. Children's hands shoot up as they offer to retell the stories that they had read and that they now know inside out. Stories such as David and Goliath, Noah's Ark, Jacob and Joseph are told with pride and clarity and accuracy. The Bibles are passed to another child, and children can wait around 6 months for their turn to take one home. One child said, "The Bible tells me about God's love." Another said, "We love the pictures and the stories teach us good behavior." A very little boy added, "We know these stories off by heart and they help us trust God in person." Clapperton, who leads Bible Society work in Malawi, said, "I remember one of the first churches we went to. We brought 120 Bibles, which we thought was quite a large number. When we got there, we found there were 750 children. Almost every week, churches ask us for Bibles, and we can't say yes to them all. We're still focusing on the cities because the need is so great. But we believe we are sowing seeds. We trust God the seeds will germinate and grow, and these children will know the foundation of God's word in their lives." Then the Bible Society is also at work in England as well. In a garage at the edge of the Forest of Dean stands Dennis the donkey. Bright-eyed and pink-tongued, he is the star in assemblies at a local primary school. Beside Dennis, who's actually made of cardboard, is a whale to devour Jonah, a roll-out temple, and other props used by Bible Society's Open the Book volunteers, who are invited to schools to dramatize Bible stories. Cyril Twist is a retired chartered engineer who makes the props, and he said, "When we did the story about Jesus healing the blind man, I made a chocolate paste as the mud to go over the blind man's eyes. The children loved that." He added that a group of boys came to him after one assembly and said they wanted to be Christians. About 10 of them started attending church. Cyril also recounted a very special moment. He said, "We also had a very dramatic story of a little girl who kept going home after assemblies and saying to her parents, 'God loves us and God loves you too, mommy and daddy.' One day the father gave his heart to Jesus." Cyril added, "That was absolutely profound. You always wonder if they really get the story, but this shows that they absolutely do." And then back to China again. This is Arlene, who works with the China Mission and specialist in the Bible Society in China. And she was telling one congregation about the Bible Mission in China. After she had finished speaking, an elderly man approached her with tears in his eyes. He said he had become a Christian more than 30 years ago, but it was the first time that he had heard the story of how his copy of the Bible came to him. He told Arlene, it's never been easy to be a Christian here in China. Your story really encourages me. Now I feel I'm not alone and I'm not forgotten. I now know there are brothers and sisters across the other side of the world who have been supporting us for so long." The old man then asked for the address of the Bible printing company. Arlene told him that Amnity, the name of the printers that Bible Society helped establish, was in Nanjing. And she asked him why he wanted to know this. And the old man said, "I just want to simply go there and do whatever I can to serve God. I want to show my appreciation, but I don't know much. I am old and unskilled, but at least I can clean their tables or make them tea to show them how thankful I am for my Bible." These are wonderful stories from the Bible Society, helping us to understand the impact that God's word, and sometimes because we have God's word readily available, we just take it for granted and we don't think so carefully about it. So do remember the work of the Bible Society. Pray for that work and support that work if you can. Now we're going to read together from God's word, and we're going to read from Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 to 12. And this is a fascinating account where the rebuilding work has been taking place in Jerusalem, and Ezra brings out God's word and starts to read it to the people, and the people all gather round to hear what God has to say to them. "All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah, and on his left were Madaiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashum, Hashabanah, Zechariah, and Meshullam. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them, and as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Serebiah, Jamin, Akub, Sahabathai, Horai, Maaseiah, Keltai, Azariah, Zozabad, Hannah, and Peliah, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send them to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. Amen. And we pray that God will bless to us this reading of his word today. Now the Reverend Terry McMullen is going to share with us the experience of some of our global mission families during the Advent season.
Today we consider the situation of global mission workers and their families in this Advent season. When we at home are wondering whether we will be able to meet together over the Christmas period, it is important that we consider the situation of some of our global mission workers and their families at this Advent season. COVID-19, which caused a lockdown and various restrictions in the UK and Ireland since March this year, has caused disruption in the lives of many of our global mission workers and their families, which is continuing to the present day. These mission workers and their families are living and serving in very different cultural situations to what they are used to, and they are visitors in the countries where they serve in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I give you several examples. First of all, in Kenya, Gary and Mary Reed had to leave their mission work among the Maasai people in early March, since the Rift Valley Academy, where their son Samuel was a boarder, closed and he returned home to their mission. Since there is no reliable internet there, the Reeds had to return immediately to Northern Ireland. And since March, Gary and Mary have been in contact with the church in Ollochinyea by the internet every week, and they give some instruction to the church leaders as well as encouraging and training them in their outreach. It is important that they are able to return to Kenya to continue their work by the end of this year, and for Samuel to return to the Rift Valley Academy, which opens on the 6th of January. Their other family members, Timothy, Jonathan and Ruth, are currently at home, and Ruth is at Stranmillers University College. Please pray for them. Stephen Cowan, who with his wife Angelina has been working among the Samburu people in northern Kenya for over 30 years, decided to stay in Tum to continue his mission outreach in that area. Angelina and Anissa returned to Northern Ireland in March, and Anissa has been able to continue her studies online with St. Andrew's Secondary School in Turi. Anissa is in her first A-level year, and she must return to Kenya to St. Andrew's Secondary School in early January when it opens again. Cara and Jason Cowan are in university in Bristol and Southampton. Please pray for the family at this difficult time. And then turning to the country of Nepal, Peter and Valerie Lockwood and their three teenage children stayed in Nepal since March and are together as a family. Their three children are attending the British Secondary School and they are receiving their lessons online. However, the Reverend Peter and Jane Fleming came home to Coleraine in March and in June this year. They are working from home, with Jane keeping in touch with the Kathmandu International Study Centre online and Peter communicating online with his colleagues in Nepal. You can well imagine how frustrating working in online and out and not being able to be with children and colleagues in Nepal, and how hard this must be. They want to return to Nepal, but that will depend on the situation regarding COVID-19 in Nepal, where they are currently experiencing a big spike in the number of cases, and they will only be able to return to their work when it is safe for them to do so. And lastly, turning to the country of Zambia, Diane Cusick was to return home in March for home assignment, but her flight was cancelled at the last moment due to the outbreak of COVID-19, and she had to stay on in Zambia for the past 8 months. Diane was able to engage in various activities during the lockdown, but she was unable to continue her work training teachers in early childhood development classes during the lockdown. However, she used the time planning for the future. At the beginning of November, the COVID-19 restrictions were relaxed in Zambia, and she has planned meetings to train new teachers and visit groups throughout the country. Diane hopes to return for home assignment sometime next year. These are examples of the situation that some of our mission workers and their families have faced since COVID-19 caused lockdowns in their countries of service. There are others as well who are suffering because of that, and I would ask that you pray for them in the coming days, remembering them in their particular work situations. Let us pray. Eternal God, our loving Heavenly Father, We thank you and praise you for your love and goodness to each one of us, and the way in which we can gather together to worship you and to praise your name. And today we do commit our global mission workers to you in their different situations in 10 countries. And we do pray, loving Father, that you would be with each family, grant them your guidance and leading in all that they do. Keep them safe from the COVID-19 virus, and grant that they may be able to continue to do their work in a way which will bring glory to your name. We pray in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.
Thank you very much, Terry, for sharing with us what our global mission workers are doing during this Advent season. Today, as we look at Nehemiah chapter 8, we're thinking about gathering around the Word of God and how whenever we gather around God's Word and we read it together, that God speaks to us and God challenges us from it. Our world has faced unprecedented levels of disruption over this past year, and the coronavirus has reminded us of how fragile our lives are. We're not in control of the universe. We're not even in control of our own lives. And so as we faced that uncertainty, we look today for an anchor. We look today for some solid ground to stand on and to find our hope in. So as we seek to rebuild following a period of major disruption and with many uncertainties still ahead, we're going to look together at God's people as they were rebuilding in Jerusalem with the uncertainty ahead of them. The Bible Society gives us this opportunity to reflect on this passage today. And so we're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 8 from the Old Testament and see how it fits into our context. And what we find in this passage is two people, Ezra and Nehemiah. Nehemiah, if you know the story, came back to Jerusalem and helped rebuild the city. He had been serving a foreign king in a foreign country, and he heard that Jerusalem was lying in ruins, and that saddened him. So he came back to Jerusalem, he gathered the people around him, he gave them the vision of rebuilding the city, and they set to work. They worked hard and they managed to succeed in restoring the city walls to the way that they should be. Then, as we enter the story at chapter 8, we find Ezra. And Ezra is bringing out God's word to read to the people. And the people are listening to what God has to say to them. One commentator has put it like this. He says, "Take heart. With God on our side, the rubble can be raw material, and the ruin can once again feel like home." That's the message to the Israelites as they rebuild Jerusalem. They take the rubble, the ruins around them, and that becomes their raw material as they rebuild. But for us today, we are in a world where there is much rubble and ruin. What we once held on to has begun to fall apart. The things that we thought were secure and safe have disappeared from us. And so now we come to this rebuilding our lives to see how we can move forward. And we take the pieces of rubble and we rebuild them, and the ruin that is around us can now feel like home again as we look to God and as we follow God. So let's look together at this passage. Let's look together at God's word and see how God can speak to us today in our coronavirus environment. The first thing that I want us to see today is that the Bible is a divine watering hole. The Bible is God's refreshing water of life for us in our lives. And the Bible is for all God's people. After the trauma of exile and then the exhaustion of rebuilding Jerusalem, the children of Israel were thirsty. They were crying out for something that would renew their lives and would refresh them again. And that is found in God's word. They need to drink from the truth of God's word. And Ezra provides that for them as he reads to them. So in verse 1, we find all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So Ezra brings out the book of the law, the first five books of the Old Testament as we would know them. We're not sure which part he read from, but he began to read God's word. And look at the significance of where this was taking place. It didn't happen in the temple, because if it had happened in the temple, then only the men would have been able to go and hear the reading. But it's taking place outside the temple, at the very walls that the people have just rebuilt. And because of that, the men and women, the boys and girls, are able to come and listen to God's word. And at the particular part of the wall that they are meeting, it is a gate, the water gate, where water came into Jerusalem and supplied the city. And that's not a coincidence. That is planned, that here we have the water of life from God coming into the people's lives and refreshing them. And so in verse 2, we find on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. The whole community coming together to hear God's word, to listen to what God has to say to them. And it makes an incredible impact on their ordinary lives. So the Bible is for God's people, but as we find out here, it is also for all humanity. It's for everyone to hear this word from God and to come and trust in God. Sometimes we view the Bible as being complicated, hard to understand. Sometimes we just put it to the side for those who are academically gifted to look at. But here we find everyone coming and listening to what God has to say. The Bible is a divine watering hole that gives meaning and brings strength and gives us hope in our lives. And so families can gather around God's word. Everyone can come and listen to what God has to say. The church can come and hear God's word. And today we might not be able to meet together in the one building, but we do meet together in the Spirit of God and with His truth, the Bible. And He speaks to us wherever we are. Such is the power of God's word before us. So in verse 3, we see that Ezra read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. So here is Ezra reading, and the people are listening because they realize that this is God speaking to them. And they want to hear what he has to say. So the Bible is a divine watering hole. It's a place where we can be refreshed by God's word and hear what his plan is for us. And secondly, we discover that the Bible is a larger story that brings us hope. Ezra read to the Israelites and told them the story of how God had dealt with their ancestors and therefore how God was going to deal with them. And as we read God's word, as we see how God dealt with people hundreds and thousands of years ago, we find out how God deals with us. So in verse 4, we find that Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform for the occasion. And beside him stood all the other teachers who were going to help him. Thousands gathered round to hear Ezra reading from God's word. And you could have heard a pin drop because as the people stood to listen, they would have had to have carefully listened to what Ezra was saying, as quiet and as still as possible, so that they could hear every word. Of course, there were no amplification available for them, and so they had to listen to what Ezra was saying. What was it that was so captivating in what Ezra was saying? Well, it's God's word. God was speaking to the people. And that's the same every time we open God's word and we read it for ourselves. It is captivating because God is speaking directly to us from his word. So Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Here they are, listening to what God has to say. Why bother with the Bible? Well, as I said, the people discovered that this was their story and they were part of it. As Ezra read Israel's history, including God rescuing them from slavery in Egypt, how he made a covenant with them on Mount Sinai, how he declared that they were his special people, how he took care of them in the wilderness whenever they were vulnerable, they realized that this was not a dusty old scroll, but this was God's living word speaking to them as they stood and listened. And as Ezra read extracts of the Bible, the Israelites felt part of something that was solid and certain. Up to this point, their lives were very uncertain. They had been living in a city that was ruined. They didn't know when the next foreign force would come in and take them back to exile again. But here they were reading about a God who never changes, a God who never leaves them no matter what. And they realized that this was a firm place that they could build their lives on what God was saying to them. In verse 6, Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. This is the reaction of hearing God speaking, praising him, crying out, "Amen, let it be so." And then falling down with their faces to the ground, realizing that God is the one who is to be worshipped, the one who is to be listened to. And this is why we need the Bible whenever there's uncertainty around us, whenever the like of coronavirus has exposed how fragile we are, we find a sure and certain hope in God's word. The Bible reminds us that we are part of a larger story, and that story stretches from creation right through the Bible to the new creation. And we realize that even though there may be chaos in the middle, God is with us and he will not forsake us and he will not leave us. So we turn to God's word to find help. And we do find help and hope in God's word. We won't find it on television. We won't find it by scrolling through the internet. We find it in God's word. Of course, at times we can find God's word difficult to understand. There's lots that is plain and simple to understand, but at times there are passages that cause us to think and to wrestle and to ponder what God is saying. And the same was happening here as Ezra was reading from God's word. And so the other Levites and the teachers of the law came alongside and started to explain to the people what they were hearing from Ezra. The Levites in verse 7 were told and were given all their names, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Imagine that. God's word is being spoken. And then there are teachers going round the individuals and the families and the clans and asking, "Do you understand that? Is there anything you're not sure about? Do you need me to explain something to you?" And they listened and they heard what God was saying. And so it's important for us to use the resources that are available to us to understand God's word. That's why we come together Sunday by Sunday to hear God's word explained and to understand what God's saying to us. We can get Bible reading notes and books that will help us day by day as we read God's word. And maybe you're not so much of a reader, but you like to listen. On the blog each day, we have a little Bible study. And at the moment, during Advent, we're going through Hebrews and looking at what God is saying to us and seeing who Jesus is as we approach Christmas and the coming of Emmanuel. So there's much that we can do to listen to God's word and to learn from him. So the Bible is a divine watering hole. The Bible is able to help us, and we realize that we're part of a bigger story. And then finally, the Bible helps us cultivate true community. The Bible brings us together whenever we read it. We have a shared experience and shared emotions whenever we hear God speaking to us. And that's what happened as Ezra read. Look at verse 9. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. The people were listening to what God was saying to them, and they began to weep. They began to cry. They began to mourn as they heard God's word and as they realized where they were in their lives and what they needed to be doing. They already were in chaos because of the exile and returning to Jerusalem. But now they were in despair because they heard God's word and they thought that they were doomed. But Nehemiah comes along with hope. And he tells them, look, this is the day of the Lord. This is not a day for crying and weeping and mourning. This is a day for celebration. This is God's word, and yes, it is terrible and it is serious, but there is hope because God is with you, and God will not let you go. And so Nehemiah comes along and reads from God's word and encourages the people. In verse 10, he says, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So here we have a situation where God's word is bringing hope. It's bringing the people together. It's then making them generous because Nehemiah says, don't mourn, eat, drink, celebrate. And then he says, if there are people who don't have anything to celebrate with, share with them, give to them, be generous to them. And so as a community, we're brought together as we hear God's word and as we follow what God says. Nehemiah ends at verse 10 with that wonderful little phrase, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." And that's what we hold on to as hope today. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Where are we putting our hope today? We have all sorts of hopes for this next year. We hope that there is a vaccine that will work, that we will be able to get. We hope that life will return to some form of normality. We hope that there will still be shops and businesses available. But our hope ultimately is not in any one of these things. Our hope is in the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's where we find our hope and our togetherness and our community today in God's word is in the joy of the Lord. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. One thing the pandemic has taught us to be aware of is the needs of others. We've realized that there are others in our community who have very little and who are struggling. And during the pandemic, we were able to come alongside and to help and to show kindness and to look after others. And so as we have hope in God's word, we're to share that hope with others and to tell others that God is one who can be trusted and God is one who can help. Over the next few months, no doubt, we will have occasion to cry together, but also to laugh together and rejoice together, to lament and to laugh. And as we do so, we'll discover that vulnerability and generosity are keys to bringing a community together. And God's word has so much to say about that. So what are we to make of these days that we're living in now? A couple of weeks ago, I made a little observation from The Lord of the Rings, and I want to leave you today with a quote from Lord of the Rings. Frodo has been given the ring, and it has been an awesome responsibility for him. It has been more than he has been able to bear. And he says to Gandalf, "I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of this had happened." And Gandalf replies to him, "So do all who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you." And that is where we all find ourselves now. We may wish that we didn't live in such times, but we are here now, and we need to decide how we will live for God and how we will live in His Word. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today for your Word, the living Word, Jesus Christ, and your written Word, the Bible. Help us day by day, Lord, to follow you and to serve you, to read your word and to meet with you each day. Help us, Lord, in all that we do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going to sing together, and Eileen is going to play for us, "Savior, Teach Me Day by Day." Now we pray together, may the Word of God, both written and living, guide us all today by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, both now and forevermore. Amen.